Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, and this is the voice of Domitique Hungo, not Steve Grzanich, but good morning, and welcome to The Opening Bell. And you just heard a couple of the stories that we're watching. Again, you normally hear me in the newsroom. My name is Domitique Hungo. I've been working here at WGN since May, and I've got to tell you, got to open up being honest, I am nervous as all get out. I am. My producer, Dave Miranda, is laughing at me right now because I'm really excited about this opportunity to talk to you guys this morning. In undergrad, I studied economics, and I always wanted a way to marry this love that I had for creative writing and journalism with some of the things I studied in undergrad with economics. A little bit about myself. Okay, so I started off in school at Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville, studying economics. When I graduated, I worked in retail for a corporate company, working as a business analyst. I loved the idea of analyzing those numbers, but I hated being trapped in that cubicle. Worked there for a year, quit, found my way into journalism, and now here I am today. And it comes full circle because I get this opportunity to talk to you guys on The Opening Bell. So it really is an amazing show that we have planned out for you today, because one of our guests, Mark Lawrence, the CEO of Spot Hero, had a similar story. He had a chance to work for a corporate company, didn't like the way things were going, went his own route, was an entrepreneur in undergrad, and just took his vision and ran with it. And we talk about how millennials have trouble kind of acclimating to certain corporate cultures and how that can actually benefit you as an entrepreneur. So I'm really excited about that segment. We've got a lot of news for you about things that we're watching in the news. Actually, let's jump into that right now. Asian stock markets are mixed today in light trading after the Christmas holiday. U.S. markets were closed Monday, of course, for Christmas, after stocks finished slightly lower Friday in subdued trading. Stocks were below those record highs they reached earlier in the week, but still finished higher for the fifth week in a row. And as you know, we've been seeing some record gains this year. U.S. shares were on pace to finish every month of the year with gains when dividends are included. Benchmark U.S. crude oil rose above $58.50 per barrel, and the dollar gained against the yen and the euro. Again, those Asian markets, the Nikkei down 46 points, about a fifth of a percentage point, so essentially flat. Shanghai's up 25 points. HSI ended up 211 points. ASX 200 up 9 and a third. The KOSPI down about 13 points or so. So again, Asian stocks closed mixed after Christmas. A few stories that we're watching, we talked about in undergrad and how being an undergrad and those college years can kind of awaken that entrepreneurial spirit in you. So a team of college students have come up with an internet browser plugin that identifies fake and biased news stories and then steers the user toward other articles. If you were listening earlier, you may have heard Hannah Stanley talk about this. It's called Open Mind. It was created this month as an extension for Google's Chrome browser. And what it is something that came about during a hackathon at Yale University. It was a 4-member team comprised of students from Yale, the California Institute of Technology, and Waterloo University in Ontario. They won a challenge from Yale's Poynter Fellowship in Journalism to find a way to combat fake news. Now, this plugin uses sentiment analysis technology to analyze articles for bias. Then they'll show you some articles that give it context. It also can show a reader whether their news browsing history is balanced or not. The group will be meeting this spring with members of Congress to talk about their creation. Now, Hannah pointed this out. This idea is very interesting, but the problem with it is a lot of people want their news fairly quickly. If I'm browsing through my news feed on Facebook, I don't know if I'm going to take the time to read a longer article just to find out about the context of a story, right? I mean, it's the reason why we're on Twitter. It's the reason the president is on Twitter. 140 characters. I don't know how many people have time to take these deep dives into longer form journalism. But hopefully, for the sake of our industry and the sake of good information getting out there, this catches on, and hopefully it's done so efficiently. Another big story, of course, is how retailers performed following the holiday, the Christmas holiday. Now, shoppers who are feeling good about the economy are spending more than expected on items like kitchen gadgets, toys, coats. Those are the best performers this holiday season. Experts have issued rosy forecasts for the season. Shoppers seem to be in the mood as unemployment is at a 17-year low and consumer sentiment has reached its highest level since 2000. But what's yet to be seen is how brick and mortar stores are really adapting to how people shop in-store versus online. I know I'm a big online shopper, but there is something about that hands-on experience. A lot of companies are talking about improving the in-store experience, whether it be customer service. See Apple do it with the big glass, beautiful store right here on Michigan Avenue. You just can't get that by shopping online. And then there are things that happen logistically. So I don't know if I should say the website or not, but I ordered something from a massive online retailer. They say it got delivered to the house. It was a Christmas gift for my lady, and it didn't come on time. So I had to call, have it canceled, went to Best Buy, and actually got to interact. It was a pair of headphones. I got a chance to interact with all of these different headphones, from Bose to JBLs to Sony's, and really figure out what it was that I wanted. And purchasing online, I didn't have that opportunity. And I bought that from Best Buy. If retailers aren't able to do that and create that in-store experience, I don't know if they'll be able to adapt to this online e-commerce economy. And then you got to factor in how consumer sentiment could shift again based on how folks feel about the tax overhaul and how it's really affecting them. Tax cuts could mean that shoppers may have more money in their pockets. They could opt to save it instead of spend it. So we're unsure about how having more money in your pockets will really boost the economy. And then also, that's even if the average American feels the impact of this new GOP tax bill immediately in the coming quarter. So that's something that we'll be watching. I am filling in for Steve Grzanich again tomorrow, and we'll take a deep dive into the implications of that new tax bill. At any rate, the president of the retail consulting group Consumer Growth Partners, Craig Johnson, says that shoppers are spending at a pace not seen since the Great Recession. So again, good news for retailers. Today, the day after Christmas, is traditionally a really busy shopping day, but it's also a really big day for returns. So if you plan on taking those gifts back that you didn't like so much, expect some long lines, all right? Another story we're watching. As recreational marijuana becomes legal in California, unions will take an opportunity to organize a whole new set of workers. The United Farm Workers, Teamsters, and United Food and Commercial Workers are looking to unionize the tens of thousands of potential workers involved in the legal marijuana industry. That goes from planters to rollers to sellers. The move could provide a boost to organized labor's lagging membership. The Farm Workers Union says that organizing an industry rooted in agriculture is a natural fit, that growers could label their products with its logo as a marketing strategy. It feels really crazy, I'm going to be honest, to talk about the legal marijuana industry. We're talking about weed as an agriculture asset, which is crazy. The push to unionize marks an opportunity for unions to gain influence in the cannabis industry, which is reportedly worth $22 billion in California and only expected to grow. Let's head over to the East Coast. There's a plan to intensify a crackdown on electric bicycles. It's causing concern for New York City's delivery workforce, which consists mostly of immigrants. Now, the city says they'll continue ticketing and confiscating those motorized two-wheelers starting next year, and they'll write up civil penalties for businesses that allow their workers to use them. However, advocates for those immigrant workers who use these electric bikes say they put in long hours and ride several miles to meet the demand for quick deliveries, and they couldn't do their jobs without those electric bikes. Now, the bikes look similar to standard bicycles, but they have these motors that propel them to about 20 miles per hour or more, depending on the model. City law considers them motorized scooters, which are illegal in New York City. Advocates say the city should instead find a way to incorporate those bikes in the transportation system. The city did the same thing with the hoverboard fad. I don't know if you guys remember these. These were like these motorized skateboards that never really had a practical application, but people in New York did get ticketed for using them. They were all the craze at least two summers ago, and they kind of look like these motorized skateboards. And again, these bikes that people are using in the workforce is yet to be seen. How the city will continue to crack down on that and what that could do for the economy there. We'll pause right here to take a look at the roads with
Roger Badish.
And this report, sponsored by Sprint, we've got the Red Line train southbound, again, moving past Fullerton. They had been stopped there for a little while because of an earlier sick customer. They are starting to move once again. And as far as your roads go on this day after Christmas, everything's moving along at posted speeds. Just in time for the holidays, get a great deal on a Samsung device. Hurry into a Sprint store. Call 1-800-SPRINT-1 or visit sprint.com/deals. Works for me. Restrictions apply. For traffic on the 7s or 8s or anytime on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Roger Badish, WGN Traffic Central.
Your attention, please. Do you want to make a New Year's resolution that's going to be easy for you to keep? This new year, resolve to start grocery shopping at one of Walt's family-owned food centers in South Holland, Homewood, Tinley Park, Frankfort, Crete, Beecher, or Dyer, Indiana. You'll find all Walt's stores are sized just right and are conveniently organized for fast and easy shopping. At Walt's, the simple ideas of freshness, cleanliness, and friendliness never go out of style. Just the way it should be. So, this new year, make a resolution that will be easy for you to keep. Give Walt's a try. You'll be pleased with Walt's prices, their quality, and their unmatched personal service. Come find out why so many families have made Walt's their store. Walt's family-owned food centers in South Holland, Homewood, Tinley Park, Frankfort, Crete, Beecher, and Dyer, Indiana. Walt's, a tradition of grocery excellence for 80 years.
Hi, this is Eddie Corrigan, candidate in the 53rd House District. Happy New Year to you and your family. I'm running for state representative because I will work to create an ethical environment in Illinois government, push for fair and independent redistricting reform, stop family burdening Madigan tax hikes, and demand property tax relief for all. Let's start the new year by putting our families first and politics aside. Happy New Year from the Corrigan family.
Paid for by the House Republican Organization.
Stay warm and energized throughout this holiday season with Argo Tea's seasonal favorite, White Frosty. It's the perfect blend of delicate white tea with creamy white chocolate, steamed milk, and a hint of mint. Craving coffee? Try Caribou Coffee's Ho-Ho Mint Mocha. Available at all Argo Tea cafes. Stop into any of Argo Tea's 15 Chicagoland locations to savor the holidays. Shop online or find a location near you at argotea.com. Download the Argo Tea app and enjoy your first drink free.
Have pain you can't ignore? Then try first-in-class relief from SalonPass. SalonPass pain relief patches have everything you need in one clinically proven solution. They're the strongest label pain reliever available without a prescription. Safely relieving pain for up to 12 hours. And SalonPass is the first and only FDA-approved OTC topical pain reliever. For first-in-class relief, get SalonPass pain relief patches in the green box with a blue wave.
Play ball. Celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com today. Now on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, you will be checking out Chicago Inno. And let's go get this Wall Street report.
Hi, this is Catherine Davis with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio. A rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoInno.com. To get a sense of what to expect in 2018, Chicago Inno talked to five Chicago venture capitalists to help gauge what might happen in the coming year. They said that health tech and fintech startups will flourish next year, and that Chicago startups across all industries will see even more funding in 2018. Additionally, they said that even though Outcome Health had its troubles this year, it won't taint Chicago's reputation overall, adding that it could actually kickstart some new health tech companies since top talent is leaving the company and looking for other opportunities. And Chicago could see more consumer-facing startups next year as shopping behaviors change, while blockchain technology and Bitcoin currency continue to gain traction. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoInno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Again, that was not Wall Street Now. That was the Chicago Inno Report. But that's perfect. That's actually perfect, David, because it's a perfect segue into our conversation with Spot Hero CEO Mark Lawrence. Again, he's and technology innovator. Founded in 2011, Spot Hero makes mobile technology that lets drivers reserve discounted parking spots ahead of time. And I got to tell you, I use Spot Hero very, very often. And it's actually a perfect segue from that Inno report, because he's definitely innovating in the tech industry. CEO and co-founder Mark Lawrence says the company experienced 100% year-over-year growth in 2016. And Mark, thank you and welcome to WGN.
Doubling every year since 2011. So it's been quite the journey at Spot Hero, and we're based right here in Chicago.
And that is amazing. Now, you're one of Winnet Cazone. You went to New Trier, and you've been an entrepreneur since day one. I read this in your profile in Crane Chicago's business, 40 under 40. And I was really ecstatic to see you there. Someone who, you're only 31 years old, and you're really just paving a way for millennials who want to get into business, for young startups, and especially being based here in Chicago. How did you even start off on this path toward entrepreneurship? I read this really interesting story about it in Crane.
Yeah, so thank you. I mean, I'll tell you, 40 under 40 is a huge honor, especially in my hometown in Chicago. So, you know, it's also a funny story where, you know, books were so expensive, and, you know, personal problem again, where I, you know, wondered, why is it so expensive to buy a book new? I mean, if you had to buy books for college, you'll know it's just so expensive. And then when you sell them back to the bookstore, They pay almost nothing for them. And what I did is I started a business where I would actually pay more to students to buy the books, and then I'd resell them at better prices. And so I was able to basically start this online used textbook business, which I ran for a number of years. And over the course of that business, that was about $1 million in sales. And that was also solving a personal problem.
Have you always been this adept at figuring out where the gaps are and kind of filling in those gaps? Was that something you learned over time, or was that something that just came innate to you?
You know, I think it's just like, I've had a really supportive family, and I've always, like, throughout my whole life, liked to solve problems and, you know, start different things. And, you know, I was a kid with the lemonade stand and, just really interested in, you know, just starting things. And then over the years, like, you know, that attracts other people who do things. You get different mentors and, you know, just learning so much just by listening to others.
Now, one reason I wanted to talk to you specifically, Mark, this year is thinking about the fact that people are wanting to start fresh in 2018. And you are a young entrepreneur. You've been doing this again that since you were a college student. We're able to raise hundreds of thousands, if not $1 million as a student through this buyback idea. So what tips do you have for young people or anyone attempting to start fresh in 2018 as it relates to starting their own businesses and getting some of their ideas off the ground, out of their head, and into reality?
Well, I'd say start with the mantra, 2018 is the year, and that it's going to happen. I think that it's important, you know, to start to get stuff just started, and then, you know, small wins can add to big things, or add up to be big things, and get momentum. So if you're talking about 18, and really starting something in New Year, I would say, like, just get something going on, however small. When we first started Spot Hero, it was a website that kind of people almost made fun of how it looked, and you had to print out a piece of paper and then, give it to a person. I mean, it was totally, kind of crude and rudimentary, but at least it started something. It's morphed into something over time. But I would say, you know, just try to start something, even in the crudest form, so you can kind of then iterate and make it better versus some grand plan.
Yeah, they always say that perfection is the enemy of progress, and I couldn't agree more. I used to have this problem of being a perfectionist, and really it kept you from just getting something out there, no matter whether it was eloquent or perfect or the way you wanted it when it first started out. And, you guys started off, like you said, with your website. But then you built to being able to secure millions in funding for Spot Hero. But how did you, I guess the question is, what is the better way to get funding for your ideas? You know, you started off out of your own pocket, but how did you build to a point where you were able to convince VCs that this is a viable idea?
Yeah, so I mean, I would first say that I think getting funding for ideas is like really, really tough. I think it's a lot better to, you know, start something or at least start telling everybody what you want to do. So then, like, you know, you start telling your companies, the breadth, the depth, and the product experience is second to none, and we're so far ahead of anyone else in terms of innovating and making the product for drivers that, like, I don't think about competition. I think about us and making ourselves better.
Mm, I love it. I love that perspective. I think, especially in the era of social media, I even think about people that I know who have started businesses, and really they're in their infancy right now. But they spend a lot of time researching the market. And so it's great to research the market and look at what's out there, but it can also cripple you in a lot of ways. As we talked about, seeking toward perfection or thinking too much about what the competition is doing, you can lose sight of what your company originally set out to do. Have you ever experienced that challenge at all as you researched the market, or did you always have in view what it was that you envisioned for Spot Hero and your company to be?
You know, honestly, from the start, like, I've always focused with the team on ourselves. It's really easy to get distracted by what everybody else is doing. I think it's important to kind of understand what the competitive landscape is like and what is out there. But to just be so focused on that, I think, is a huge distraction. I think, you know, there's got to be a vision of where we're going. And that's where I've always focused with the team on where are we going? What is the value that we're going to provide? And, you know, not so much worried about what others are doing.
Yeah, there's nothing like laser focus. So what's new for 2018? What do you have going? What are you planning for 2018? What can we look forward to?
Oh, it's going to be the year. 2018 It is. Not just for all the people that are going to start companies like you mentioned earlier, but it's going to be the year for Spot Hero. I feel like I've worked 7 years to have a year like this one. We have an amazing team, and we've got a whole new world that is going to be for the whole landscape in 2018. There are a number of companies that we're working with in our platform where we've got a mobility API that basically allows anyone else to hook into it. As I mentioned, WageWorks is just one of our partners, you know, to power pre-tax commuter benefits. But, you know, we're talking with a number of different OEMs and in car, and we are going to be the platform that is for parking. And people aren't going to park. They're going to Spot Hero.
Delivery Hero is a company I saw based out of Germany that as I was looking up Spot Hero, they came up. And I was thinking about what's next for Spot Hero. Would you ever think about something like that? Well, Delivery Hero, just to let you guys know, is kind of a takeout food ordering company where you can order food online, and I believe they deliver it to you. Would you ever think about expanding toward other sectors within this same kind of realm?
So here's what I'll say. You know, we just, after the acquisition, are now in Canada after the acquisition of Parking Panda. But here's what's awesome about Delivery Hero. So Delivery Hero acquired Food Panda, just like Spot Hero acquired Parking Panda. But to make it even funnier, the two largest investors in Delivery Hero were Global Founders Capital and Inside Venture Partners. And those are our two largest investors. Like...
You can't make this stuff up.
You cannot make it up. So 2018 is going to be a great year. Love Delivery Hero. Love Spot Hero, Food Panda, Parking Panda. 2018 is going to be great.